Give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you may not be able to tell it where you're sitting or where you're watching or where you're listening, but we're in our new digs. We're in our new Pass the Salt studios. Finally got, last 3 days of moving and tearing down, and I got boxes still gathered. Remember, I always told you some of you have seen my old studio. Well, this is my new studio. Except, what's that? Meet the old boss, same as the new boss? Same thing we got here. I got boxes stored, everything back here. Michelle and I are going to have to go through. We've been working on a new home. Got in it. Finally in it. That's a long story. But we're in it. Happy to be in it. And so up here running good. August 1st. Wow. Huh? August already? Again, I said yesterday, and all the number of times I started two-a-day football practice, that's all behind me. We're on to something new. And I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I get a lot of emails from people saying, Coach, what's that? What's this Salt and Light Brigade thing? What's this all about? And, so I'm going to take a little bit of time to Chad Estes down there in Florida. Maybe I shouldn't use his last name. Colonel X down there in Texas just had a Salt and Light Brigade, event at his house. We've got a new ministry center. Rob Pugh has a new ministry center up in Wisconsin that is dedicated to the Salt and Light Brigade. I'm going to show you some of these things today, because I want you to know that we are expanding. We want to take the Salt and Light Brigade across the country. Now, here's why we want to take it across the country. The churches are not doing their job, folks, right? They're not doing their job. And so we're looking for committed Christians across America who are looking for somebody to buddy up with, to pal up with, maybe for some fellowship, maybe for some survival stuff, maybe for some prepping, maybe just for a lot of different reasons. And we've got the country, the nation sectioned off into, Sarge called them FEMA districts, or FEMA's, I don't like to call them that, but we're really working to expand. Gary's working here, the Ohio connection, really good. Sarge is working up there in the New England area. We got, as I said, Chad down in Texas. He's got Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana. I don't even know all those states down there. We got Tim Tuber. If we can ever get him out of bed, he's going to be working the West Coast for us. So we're really beginning to expand. But a lot of people say, well, what is this thing, Coach? What is this Salt and Light Brigade thing? So if you just stay with me, I'm going to give you a real quick overview of what the Salt and Light Brigade is all about and how it started and kind of where we are. Because I think this is all germane. What? That's a big word, isn't it? That's all germane. It all has something to do with what we're trying to do here at Pass the Salt Ministries. This is the Salt and Light Brigade started for us about, lose track of time, couple years ago. And it was really centered around, I got it up and running during the Ken Hovind issue. Now, I don't know if you guys remember that, or I don't have time to take you through all that stuff, but Pastor Ken Hovind was in jail. You know, he was in jail for 8 years for tax issues, which were all fraudulent. That doesn't matter. But then they were trying to put him back in jail for another, probably the rest of his life. They were charging him with bank fraud from jail. Mail fraud from jail, if you can believe that. So we got involved. We got actively involved. Said, listen, we need boots on the ground. We need to make some noise. And we did. And we launched the Salt and Light Brigade. I'm all tangled up here in my wires. We launched the Salt and Light Brigade at that time. And here's what it was. I took it from a football coaching position, or from a war tactic. And said this, number one, you think back to the first Gulf War, shock and awe. Do you remember that? Shock and awe was the American bombers. They bombed Baghdad for, I believe it was 40 days, might have been 38 days. They bombed it continuously for 38 days before everybody went in. Shock and awe. And they said once the bombing was done, then when it decided they had to send in the infantry, the boots on the ground, it was nothing. It was easy to clean up the battle at that point, but they couldn't have won without the Air Force coming through before they sent the infantry in. And of course, they had infiltrated in there throughout the whole time. They had special forces in there. They'd sent the the Navy SEALs and those guys on ahead of. So I saw them and said, you know, it's pretty easy to do. God's got an army. Let's try to organize this thing into three facets. And we came up, this is for the Ken Hovind event, which, by the way, we got him out of jail. That's a story in itself that I'll have to tell you someday. I don't have time to do it right now. We said, but listen, there are people sitting at home who see all these things that are going on, and they would like to be involved with it, and they don't have any idea how to get involved with it. They don't know what to do. So we started Assault and Light Brigade, and we set it up into three groups, and here's what we ask people to do with our Assault and Light Brigade. Number one is we ask you to be on the prayer force. Now, what's the prayer force? Well, down in the Ken Hovind issue, we alerted everybody that was on our list, thousands. We built it to thousands who were on our list, said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to target prayer this. And we gave them specific things to pray for. A judge, the prosecutor, the public defender, certain issues we targeted in prayer. That was the Air Force, the prayer force, okay? We had a lot of people said, I really can't do much, Coach, but I can pray. And so we helped them become part of the brigade and gave them something to pray for and towards. It was powerful. And we launched our first really, let me back up a minute. Then we had the infantry, and the infantry were those who wrote emails, faxes, made phone calls. Now there's some overlap. Some of the people who pray are also the infantry. They go in and clean up the mess. It always takes boots on the ground. You always have to have them. And we ask for boots on the ground every chance we get, but we get the prayer force. We have the infantry who go in after the bombing's done, right? The infantry's got to go in and clean things up, and the people who make phone calls, send emails. And then we have what I call the SWAT team, spiritual weapons and tactics. The SWAT team goes in. The SWAT team hits the ground first. When the whole Ken Hovind thing was going on, me and some of our buddies, we were the first guys. We were there. We were the first ones outside that courtroom. We were the SWAT team, spiritual weapons and tactics. So we divided the brigade into three different groups and said, hey, people, please come and join it. Come and join this. We set up a sign up on our website. We got thousands of names. And then I got the thousands of names, and we had some turmoil with some people who said they would help, and then they didn't help. And then all of a sudden the brigade just kind of sat there loosely without much help for quite a while. But let me back up. We took the brigade and we engaged the brigade in the Kim Davis story. Man, I got some stories to tell you guys. Maybe someday I'll just sit down and tell you what happened. The Kim Davis story was a clerk down in Kentucky who wouldn't marry homosexuals. You all remember that. Well, the Salt and Light Brigade got involved. How? Prayer force, infantry, boot on the ground. We did all that, and Kim Davis got set free from jail. That's a miraculous story to tell you. I could tell you, but I have several instances where we have in fact made a difference. And so we put a call out, said, listen, please, we got on Hagman and Hagman. They'll let me on there anytime, baby. Maybe I ought to get back on there again, start talking a little bit about our Salt and Light Brigade. Sorry, I feel like I'm chained up here. We're looking for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians. Don't have to be Christians, but we think Christians, this is tailor-made for Christians, to join our brigade so we can put together. See, the left is unified, and we're not unified, and that's what we're trying to do with the Salt and Light Brigade. So now I gave you that quick overview. When you join the Salt and Light Brigade, by the way, you go right online. Jared, do you have that? Can you have that link? Can you put that thing up there, or have you already done that, and I've just missed it? Because I want people to see that. Okay, I'm sorry. So folks, let me catch up with Jared here, if I can see it. Is it up there, Jared? Yeah, okay. So there's old Ken Scott down. Picture Ken Scott down there. And so that's what we do now. There's a place for you to go and sign up. Jared, can you show them that page on the brigade where they sign up? Join the brigade. You click on the join the brigade, and we ask you some questions. There's some information. We're not going to bombard you. We're not going to sell your information. We want to find out what skills you have. We may have a guy out there that's great in logistics. We may have somebody that's a great cook. We may have somebody that's good with technology. We're trying to find out. We're trying to put together a team. When I put together a football team, I want to know who's a guard and who can block and who can tackle and who can catch and who can run and who can throw and who can gripe at the coach. I want to know all that stuff, see? And so if you would fill all this stuff out, we're not trying to get into your personal information, but we're trying to organize this and put together little pockets of unorganized SWAT teams and infantries and prayer forces all across America. That's what we're trying to do. If you haven't signed up with the Salt and Light Brigade, please go there. Hey, guys, listen. How the heck are we ever going to win if you won't even sign up? He said, well, I don't trust the internet. Oh, they're just going to ask for money. Throw all those excuses out there. We ain't going to win if we don't even know who's on our team. And we're not going to win if we're not organized, okay? We don't bombard you with stuff. We say, hey, listen, we're going to go to Louisiana. We went down there, did some flood relief down in Louisiana, and we unleashed the Salt and Light Brigade, infantry, SWAT team. People came. We helped rebuild some houses. We do all kinds of different things. And you'll never know it. You'll sit at home in your church and you'll waste away. If you're not tied into us, you're going to waste away, and we don't want that to happen. So I want to speed ahead here real quickly to our buddy Chad. By the way, before I forget it, folks, be a great chance to help get involved this weekend. Coming up this weekend, we are at I'm part of an event that's at Calvary Chapel in Lima, Ohio. Pastor Mike Spaulding. I'm sorry, I've been so daggone busy. Look, folks, here it is on the screen. Pastor Mike Spaulding, Michael Bodea, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, Russ Dizdar, Joe Hagman. We're going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can sign up online there. It's free. You believe this? Pastor Mike is doing this thing free. They're going to take an offering. But, folks, come and join us if you can. It's August 4th through the August 6th. It starts Friday night, August 4th. And it'll be over Sunday afternoon, August 6th at 2 o'clock. If you can only come in for a day, all day long, you're going to hear from Dizdar and Bodea and Spaulding and Coach and Joe Hagman. And it'd be great. And not only that, you'll get to meet other members. And then one of the things that we try to do at these events is recruit new Salt and Light Brigade members. We figure the people who come to these events, they want to know more. They are involved. And we try to plug them in. Okay? Come on, folks. Come on, if you're within a couple-hour drive of Lima, Ohio, and yes, it is Lima, like the bean. It's not a Lima bean. It's a Lima bean. Come and join us. All that information is found right there at Coach Dave Live. But this last weekend, I got to hurry up here. This last weekend, Chad down in Texas, I want to salute Chad. He's been a great, not only is he a great leader, but he's been a great SWAT team member. He drove from Texas to Washington, D.C. when we held our event at the Supreme Court. Chad drove to – he'd been to Columbus. Chad's driven to – he'd been everywhere with us, man. He came down to Baton Rouge when we were repairing those homes. And Chad's a great prepper and a lot of – you know, he has a lot of great information that way. But he says, Coach, I want to help build the brigade. I want to help build the brigade. And so we're going to have an event at our house, my house at the Estes Ranch last weekend. He's telling everybody, come. He put out – you have any idea how big Texas is and how many people there are in Texas? What a difference we can make in Texas. And so Chad called a meeting of Salt and Light Brigade down in Texas. He'd never even met any of these people. And Chad, jump in here and tell us how that thing went.
Well, thanks, Coach. I'm humbled by your introduction there. But I thought we had a great turnout. We had 16 people. I had six more that had called and said, man, they just couldn't make it, but they're looking forward to coming next time. But we engaged in a lot of spiritual warfare, and there we got to know each other pretty fast with all the other members. We're going to have a bring a friend meeting next time, so that's what we're trying to encourage that. We covered
– and the next time's October 26th and 27th, Chad, is that the next time?
No, August 26th and 27th.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
August 26th, 27th. I got to check my calendar if I can find it here in this mess. And I'm going to do – my wife and I are going to do our best to be down there. But the people want to get together again, right, Chad? Because it's important for them to get together and know each other, know they can trust each other. And Chad, just give us a real brief overview of what you did in your Salt and Light Brigade meeting that you had there.
Okay, well, we covered a spectrum of ideas and thoughts. We went over scripture. We kind of met with each other and had everybody have a name tag and at first, and then by the second day, we didn't even need it. Everybody knew everybody's name, and it was, you know, you got comfortable real fast with each other. And so we did about an hour and a half, 2 hours of Bible study, you know, where we were actually reading the Bible, but the entire time there, usually you're breaking off into small groups and on your own, and we're engaging in some type of theological discussion, if you will. throughout that day. And then we discussed about what were my vision of the Greater Texas Brigade is going to go, which ties into yours, which ties into Rob's, which ties into Tim's, which ties into Kevin's. You know, everything's always, it's a link in a chain. It's linking a chain. And so, and also we talked a little bit about prepping. We shot some guns. We gave some instruction on that. I'm a firearms
instructor. Guns are okay, aren't they, folks? It's okay to shoot guns. It's okay to have guns and defend yourself, isn't it? Huh? The fact that you have guns and defend yourself, does that necessarily make you a militant group, which is what they try to say about everybody who just wants to have a gun and defend themselves? They're militant. Huh? Somebody comes driving down my driveway going to do dirty things to my wife. I'm going to get militant. I'm going to have me a gun. They're going to meet old whatever his name is, going to meet some revolver when they come, Smith and Wesson. That's who they're going to meet when they come walking up here. So, hey, Chad, listen, I'm just because of the sake of time, and I know that you got a role there. Jared, let's play just play a little clip that Chad made of people who showed up at his house at the Salt and Light Brigade last week. Can you pull that up here real quick, Jared? Sorry, Chad, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all right.
Hey, Chad.
Okay.
Hey, Chad. Yes, I did mean to cut you off. Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm lying.
It's good. It'll do everything.
Yeah, just play this real quick, Jared, if you can get that up there for us, bud. This was made.
Hey, Coach, and the remainder of the Salt and Light Brigade that didn't show up were not able to make it today for whatever reason. I just want you to know that we had a slam-bam awesome weekend here of spiritual warfare, as well as the battle for the carnal physicality and our preparations. We enjoyed ourselves. We had a great cookout. We got some food cooked in right now. As you can see, the crew behind me here, we not only have the Ephesians 6 going for us, the armor of God, but we also have our to prepare in the physical. So take up arms and get familiar with them. Get familiar with your preparations, because after all, we cannot occupy if we're dead. In Jesus' name, I'm
good line.
Amen. Hey, Coach Michelle, it's Em here. Just want to say hi and say this has been a great weekend, great fellowship with new family members. I'm super excited about the women's group and the calls that we're going to do and the ladies' weekend. Michelle, you're going to get an invitation to the ladies' weekend when we have it planned. We're ready. We're going to meet every month, meet quarterly to attack the devil and go out and have some events. So, Coach, will be a. I know Chad's going to tell you about all of that, but this has been a great weekend, great fellowship with great families in the body of Christ. Have a super week. God's blessing on you both. We love you.
Coach Dave, how are you? We met at the Prophecy Conference a couple years back. So glad to be here. Thanks, Chad and Michelle. Did a wonderful job hosting this event. They made it so fun and inviting for us. We thank y'all. Thank you, Coach Dave, for putting this together, and I just pray that everybody here will continue the movement and stay engaged and involved. We're excited. We got a lot of big plans as far as meeting and organizing and getting ourselves structured in a way that makes us really effective for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And but I got to go. Anyway, we're about to have lunch, and anyway, thanks. God bless. We'll see you soon, we hope.
Hi, Coach Dave. Thank you for organizing this ministry. So I was very glad to be with Chad and, you know, I guess my extended family, like from now on. So hopefully we'll continue and keep the movement growing. So we need to take our civilization back, and thanks for starting it.
Hi, my name's Sandra Revel. I'm from Terrell, Texas. I came with my husband, Mark. This is my first time with Salt and Light Brigade, and it is such an answer to prayer for me. I am so excited to be able to be a part of this group. I got to shoot an AR-15 for the first time in my life, and I am so in. I just love it, and I love the community and what we're all going to be able to learn from each other, the support, being in the Word, encouraging one another in the Word, being able to discuss the Bible and where we're at right now at this time. And it's just been a blessing. And I just really thank Chad and Michelle for opening up their home and just all that God is doing through them and how He wants to bless and work through this group and this regional group of Texas, Louisiana, what is it?
Arkansas, Oklahoma,
and Alabama.
Holy hillbillies!
And New Mexico. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We had fun. We really packed clothes for a week, but he said we couldn't stay. So we're leaving to go back to Shreveport. But we want everybody to come visit us really soon. We got all kinds of good loving here. We got good food. They took care of our every need. We got to shoot guns. We just made friends and what else? Anything else? We love the chickens and the dogs and the pigs stunk though. But anyway, everything was wonderful. We loved it.
I was really looking forward to this. And
okay, are you? Identify yourself.
Oh, I'm Jay Bennett. Well, Coach knows me. I'm Jay Bennett. I was really looking forward to this, and I really got disappointed right off the bat when I heard about the Chippendales. But we still had a good time. It was a great weekend. It was a great get-together. Look forward to next time.
Hey, coaches, Anthony and Yellow here at Estes Ranch. I just want to thank you for letting us be a part of the ministry. And I just think we got a great thing going on here. I just want to see the Lord move in us and use us to do great things here right here at home, like you say. We don't need to be going out to other countries. We got problems right here that need to be solved. And looking forward to meetings in the future. Just want to thank Chad and Michelle for having us out here, and hope to see you down here in Texas pretty soon.
Hey, Coach. Josh Manning here.
Hey, Josh.
From
how Texas doing,
Ranch. Just want to tell you that we appreciate you and love you for all that you've done for this ministry, helping us get everything set up out here. Just want to give a special thanks to Chad and Michelle because they've been awesome. And I just want everyone out there in Salt and Light Brigade to know that Texas Salt and Light Brigade, we lead the way. We are making this happen, and we are going to we're taking this thing the real deal. We're going to make this happen.
That's right.
All right, Texas leads the way.
All right, man. Great job, Chad. Appreciate that video. So, folks, that's what's going on. Chad, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to move on. But now, August 27th is the next one. How do they get a hold of you, Chad?
They can email, of course, me, or they can contact you guys and Kevin Conford at Sarge Conford.
Yeah.
Or Texas@saltandlightbrigade.org.
It's family and community, isn't it, Chad? Family and community.
Absolutely. Bring your kids, bring your wives, bring your husbands, you bring your neighbors. That's fine. I will take off. Everybody can hold a sign. Everybody can yell. So, you know, let's bring everybody in. We're all in.
Amen. Bless you, Chad. Bless you, Chad. Hey, folks, at the same time, Rob Pugh, Rob's been a good ministry friend here for a couple of years. I've gone up there and been part of his ministry expo up there, and Rob came down to our boot camp, but Rob has done something unbelievable. We're going to be up there, October 27th, I believe it is, Jared. I'm daggone it, Sergeant with me. There it is. October 26th and 27th, we're going to be up at Marshfield and then at Milwaukee doing a boot camp. By the way, Pastor Matt Truella is going to join us, and we're working on Greg Evenson joining us as well. Some of you certainly know Pastor Matt and know Greg. But in Marshfield, Rob has come, my goodness, he has come up with a Salt and Light Brigade Ministry Center. Now, Rob runs the Wisconsin Christian News. He's a real pro, man. Rob is a real pro. And he caught the vision of the Salt and Light Brigade, and they had an open house this last weekend and had hundreds of people come through this new facility that Rob has put and refurbished. And they're going to have the tip-off on – well, he's having something Tuesday night, tonight actually. Rob's doing something with the folks up there from a Salt and Light Brigade standpoint. But, Jared, if you can, pull up there real quickly the video that Rob made. We don't have to show the whole thing, but the video that Rob made of what he refurbished up there. This guy gets it, man. I'm sorry, I'm still tangled up here. Go ahead, Jared. Go ahead and play Rob for us. Rob Pugh, Wisconsin Christian News.
Are we on the air?
You're on, Rob.
All right, good morning, Coach. Wanted to introduce you to the Ministry Center and the Salt and Light Brigade headquarters. This is our grand opening day. And I'm gonna take control of the camera, and Dave is gonna narrate for you. He's gonna give you a tour of the facility. So here we go. Here's Dave. First, we have this community festival. We have a car show out in front today. Setting up. They just put our new sign up. Got the new sign. The Salt and Light Brigade. Right there, and it's grand opening day. Over here we have the shirts in the window. There we go. Okay,
take us inside, Rob.
Window, the place had been empty almost 3 years, so they were covered with grime, and it took a little effort to get them shined up like this, so we did the best we could. And then one day, as Rob and I were walking in here, he stopped and said, "This thing funnels down to the narrow door, so we are now officially the narrow gate."
Enter by the narrow gate, huh?
We got a few things in the window. This is, boy, I wish it wasn't reflecting like that. But this
well,
is,
I'm sorry I shined it up so much.
Yeah, Dave did a great job on the windows. I don't do windows.
I don't
see,
either.
He does. Look at him. He can't stop himself. All right. Here we have a few things from Matt. And we're going to go inside.
Look what they've done with this place,
folks. Let's do a tour because people are going to be coming in here.
They've been empty for 3 years.
Walking in. And we got some stuff here. Here's our... Go ahead, Dave.
This was the checkout counter for the shoe store for many, many years, and we've turned it into an information center with all kinds of free flyers and coaches' t-shirts and caps.
There we go.
And I think Rob put that on the wall for my benefit.
No. This is for people, these are for the God haters who want to come here and give us grief.
Jared, see if you can go a little bit farther ahead in this video. He takes it into the library that they've set up.
Scripture. And there comes Lanny.
And we can...
There you go.
Good shot.
That's it, Jared.
Half a block long.
Half a block long, the building is.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get a good shot of this, but there's our... table where we can do counseling and small group meetings. We do our Tuesday morning Bible study.
And we can relax.
There you go.
I found this in the garage at my church, donated to their yard sale, so it's been put to good use. The books here,
look at those materials.
Donated from various places.
Wow. Some from a guy in Ohio, we know.
Yes, there are those on there. I spent quite a bit of time starting them out, but there's a lot more left to do. And it's meant to be a place, quiet place for people when they're not using it for meetings, if they want to read.
Okay, Jared, you can stop that now. I'd go ahead and show you the rest. This is available. I thank Rob for making this. I'm trying to show you that we are moving forward with these regional offices. Now, Rob is doing a Tuesday night Bible study. He's going to get people together, and he's waking people up in the Marshfield, Wisconsin area. We see what Chad's doing down in Texas. We're looking for others to say, "Coach, I want to try to do this in my area. Let me be a captain out here. I'll help do this." And we're excited about the direction where all this stuff is going on. Okay, so remember, up there, October 26th and 27th. The 26th, we're going to be at the new facility Rob has. And on 27th, we're doing a boot camp in Milwaukee with Pastor Matt Tuella and myself. And I want you to come and be part of that. That's all on our website. Folks, if you listen, you're going to get out of this what you want to get out of it. If you're not putting anything into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. And dare I say this, we need you. This weekend, I'm going to be in Lima, Ohio, like the Lima Bean. Me and Michael Bodea and Mike Spalding and Russ Dizdar and Joe Hagman's going to be there. And we need you. We need you. Look, folks, this is what a moment. Come here. My granddaughter ran down the hill when we built our new home. My granddaughter lives right at the top of the hill. And she got up this morning and came running down here in her nightgown or night little dress. Is this something? Is this living the life? Bless you, Reese. Good to see you, sweetheart. So, guys, any questions about the Salt and Light Brigade? Because I'm going to move on here. I'm going to move on. But I can tell you this. Thanks, Reese. We can make a difference, folks. I've got to take some time to tell you some stories of the Kim Davis event, Ken Hovind event, Louisiana, our trip to the U.S. Supreme Court, our trip to the inauguration and the Women's March to the Gay Pride Parades. And envision in your mind how the Salt and Light Brigade works. We get people bombarding with prayer. The infantry moves in, but the SWAT team, we're the first one. So go to CoachDaveLive.com and sign up. Give us your information, please, to be members of the Salt and Light Brigade so we can move forward. Okay, listen, I'm going to shift gears before
hey,
I do. Anybody have anything to add to? You have any?
Yeah, how's Kim Davis, by the way?
Everything's good. Everything's good. One of the things that we didn't like about that down there, Vince, and one of the reasons we're still pushing hard down in Kentucky, down in Louisville, they've got a good Christian governor, who, by the way, the governor got elected because of the Kim Davis situation, because of the Salton Library. I got to tell you that story. I'm not going to do it now, but it's an unbelievable story. She didn't fight the right fight. Kim Davis didn't, in our opinion. Her lawyers did not have her fight the right fight. Kim Davis refused to marry people because she said her conscience, she would be violating her conscience. Well, that's not going to fly in a court of law, in my opinion, because homosexuals have conscience too. And they have a right to conscience. And atheists have a right to, everybody has a right to conscience. The issue with Kim Davis was, it's not marriage. See, she swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, Constitution of the State of Kentucky. The state of Kentucky says marriage is between a man and a woman. That's it. That's what the Constitution says in the state of Kentucky. And we think she should have ridden on that horse only, not conscience, not all this, don't want to violate, not deeply held religion. No, no, no. The Constitution, state of Kentucky, says marriage is between one man and one woman. And for her to violate that, she'd be violating her oath. That's where we wanted her to stand. She's still in office. She doesn't sign, she doesn't marry homos. See, that was wasn't a big deal anyway, Vince. They tried to come in from all across America, come down there and try to destroy marriage and force her to do it. There aren't that many homos trying to go down there and get married. See, we don't even understand how the game's played. So she's in office. Like she's doing well.
It's just like the stupid cake.
That's right. The same thing, Vince.
Yeah.
And so we're not dumb enough to figure out what they're doing, how the game's played, and that's one of the things that we're trying to do to wake up people with assault language. All right. Hey, listen, we had a huge impact. We got Ken Hovind out of jail. I say that boldly and without any reservation. The Salt Light Brigade got Dr. Ken Hovind out of jail. Not a doubt in my mind. Anybody want to jump in here before I shift gears on you a little bit? Some of you have been to some of our events. You know what we're about. 7:32. No, nobody wants to jump in. Going once, going twice. Okay, here we go. Jared, pull up. What do I want you to do? Jared, pull up where it says ministry opportunities. You know, yesterday on the show, hang on, Jared, I'm sorry. As you pull that up, go to Jeremiah 23. You got to work a little bit of Bible in here. We got to work a little bit of Bible. And I got to show you a couple things that popped out at me today on Jeremiah 23, beginning on verse 9. I read this yesterday. Remember, woe to the pastors. Remember, I talked about that. I want to show you some other things. Starting in verse 9. Say, Coach, that's Old Testament. Yeah, I know this. He changes not. Verse 9, Jared, if we can scroll down just a tad, it says, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. I read over this very quickly the other night. All of my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, says the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on them, and they fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the house, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Jared, let's go quickly. Here's what I want to get, and then I'm going to move on to stay right there at 14. I've seen also in the prophets of the Church of America a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen, listen to this, they strengthen the hands of evil doers. See, homosexuality, all this stuff that's bombarding the culture, it's being done because these prophets have strengthened the hands of the evildoers. Well, maybe that's not what the Bible really meant. Maybe the Lord really didn't mean that. Maybe if Jesus would come today, he'd be more kind-hearted and more accepting. Maybe if he lived 2,000 years ago, maybe if he lived today in this culture, in this society, he would see things a little bit different. See, that's how the prophets have strengthened their hands of the evildoers, that none do return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. So Jared, I want to finish up. We could keep on going, but I want to finish up with verse 21. Let's start with 21 and 22. And then I'm going to show you some stuff here. Hey guys, I don't mean to bash pastors. I don't mean to, but it just keeps coming back to the same thing. Why is the left winning and we're losing? But the Salt and Light Brigade's about. I'm going to show you that here in a second. Verse 22, 21 and 22. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. They went anyway. I have not spoken to them, yet they told everybody what I've said. They prophesied. Stay with me. 22. But if they had stood, hear me, folks. Hear me. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. You understand that? The Lord's saying, if they just listened to me and listened to my word, then they would have impacted all the people and we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. Remember how this chapter started out? What's it say? Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Folks, we're on to something here. This is why the Salt and Light Brigade, I'm sorry, I gotta fix this. I'm so tangled up here. This is why the Salt and Light Brigade is that's what's given life to it. Christians are sick and tired of nobody doing anything. And can I show you something, Jared? I told you earlier, pull up there where it says ministry opportunities. Somebody forwarded this to me. Want to go to a church? Want to serve the Lord? Well, we got some ministry opportunities at your church, folks. This is not made up, okay? You really want to serve the Lord? Okay, well, here's what was in the bulletin. From the parking lots to the pews or seats, depending on what room you're in, hundreds of members serve one another each week. You'll find them everywhere you look. We want to invite you to join a serve team. Here are the top five needs we have right now. Come and serve the Lord. Be on the welcome team. You're responsible for coordinating weekly schedules for welcome team volunteers. Hand out the little cards when they come in the door. How about this? We need people to serve the Lord and the kids in the preschool and elementary area. Well, okay, I see that. Oh, photographers. You want to serve the Lord? Be a photographer. Be responsible for capturing church life on Sunday mornings. This is a must-have experience. How about this one? All of you who own a car, well, you can be on the parking lot team. Serve the Lord by parking cars. Responsible for making sure people find parking spaces, assisting people to the building, and welcoming people as they arrive. Ooh, man, that'd be nerve-wracking. You'll be the first smiling face people see each Sunday. We need you, rain or shine, to help make the experience in our parking lot fun and exciting. Yes, sir. Give me a yellow vest and let me park some cars for the Lord. And then you can be on the safety and security team. Medical professors, doctors, nurses, EMTs, et cetera, Sundays and Wednesdays. So there you go, folks. I guess I'm all out of line. There's all kinds of ministry opportunities in the church. It's crazy, isn't it? Isn't it crazy? First of all, the people think they have to go to church to serve the Lord. First of all, they think they have to go to church to serve the Lord. And that all the serving is being done right there inside that building. And is it any wonder people are dropping out of churches and fleeing and running? And
hey, Dave.
Unbelievable. Yes, sir.
You know, the thing I notice with that more than anything, there's nothing that says we need a leader. Okay. Uh-huh. You know, think about this. You're a CEO of a business and you retire.
You want to go park cars. Yep.
There's no emphasis on we want to start a ministry in this area. We need a leader. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it just befuddles me. What are, just for lack of, you know, the professional men and women out there who have led industries, who have led small business, who have led in corporate America, who have gone to the tuxedo gatherings and supported nonprofits, what are they to do? There's nothing really for them. Now, some would argue, well, you need to serve wherever you can serve, and that's arrogant. No, it's not. There is a skill set above parking cars.
That's right. I mean, God bless somebody parks cars. We need car parkers. I'm not making fun of people who park cars. But are you kidding me? That's your religious experience of serving the Lord? Parking cars and go to Haiti? That's it? Is it any wonder when, what did it just say? But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. We're parking cars.
Dave.
Not
to turn you too quick, but always we need to always remember when we make reference to the Old Testament, that is the word that Jesus taught to his disciples.
That's right.
New Testament did not come for a number of years after his death. But this old Testament is what Jesus used to teach the people. And
Roger, not only that, it is what birthed the New Testament church.
Absolutely.
The New Testament church was birthed by the preachings of the Old Testament.
I didn't mean to take you from your serving issue.
No. It's good. It's cool. See, and think about this. What if they ran an ad in their paper saying, we're looking for somebody to head up our abortion ministry. We're looking for someone to head up our human trafficking ministry. We're looking for somebody to head up our public school accountability chapter. We're looking for somebody to start our governmental accountability group. We're looking for somebody. You see what I'm saying, folks? You see what we're saying? The emphasis at the church is in the church. It's not beyond the church. It's not at all beyond the church. I hate to read it again, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings. We are not hearing this in our churches. That's why people are flooding to alternative ministries. Stuff like we're doing. Oh man. Anybody else want to jump in? I got a couple more things to pop at you here. Bobby, it's what's made you mad. Think about what you're dealing with out there, Bobby, the destruction of families that you see every day. And the church has the answers to the destructive family. JR, the church has the answer to the destruction of the family. The church has the answer, and the church will not even get involved. You know why the church won't get involved? Because they won't talk about traditional marriage. They won't talk about stop shacking up with your wife, with your girlfriend, and coming to this church and taking communion. Stop coming here. Stop living in sin and coming here. The church won't talk about that. So the church is full of sin. So therefore, the church isn't going to judge anybody outside it. I hear you, Bobby. Jump in here.
Yeah, the churches are community centers. If they took those type of positions that you just stated, you'd probably have, well, without a doubt, you'd have a very small amount of people there. A lot of these people in this congregation they work for the schools. Most of the government positions are there. Yep. They're immediately going to vanish. And that nice community center that you see there is ultimately going to go away. That's where we're at with that. I mean, you're only allowed to say certain things. I know you're only allowed to go so far, especially when you're amongst those people. And
that's right, man.
Yeah, and I've done it, whether it's in trainings. I push the boundaries. I push the boundaries as far as I can go without being asked to leave a training. And you should see the people squirm when I'm stating reality.
Oh, I'll bet. Bobby, that's why the Salt and Light Brigade is for you, man. Because you get it. You know what's going on, and you want to get into action and do something about it. You know it ain't going to happen in this church. It's not happening here. They don't have the vision. They don't see it. They don't see it.
Dave,
they just don't see it. Yep.
Yeah, is what you're talking about is the difference between loving God, the first commandment, and the second commandment. If you love God, you're going to be doing exactly what you're saying. You're going to have people that are going to be fighting abortion, fighting all the things that God hates. If you love your neighbor, you're going to be helping them in the parking lot. You're going to be helping them in their whatever they need there at the church. That's the difference. And when we finally start and put the first thing first, life will change. You guys are doing it in your Salt and Light Brigade. And that's what needs to continue. We need to embarrass the church out of business. We need to make them finally start and feel ashamed of what.
Amen, brother.
There's no shame in this daggone nation.
There's no shame. Whatever happened to shame? I did a video on that. I have to dig that one out.
Y'all dig that up and play that again, without a doubt. Because I tell you what, we lack shame. And, you know, by the verse of the day today was from Psalm 119. When you look at that, one of the very first things that comes about is talking about shame. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
Hey, anyway. Jared, go to the stuff here real quick. Pull up that first one. Hey, Raj, see if this is mentioned from your pulpit on Sunday. Anybody out there going to church, see if maybe this is mentioned. Say, well, coach, it's not mentioned because my pastor's not aware of it. Well, then tell him. Tell him. And ask him to do something about it. You know what it is? Let's see what it is, Jared. Something really, really good. I'm seeing. The phone went off. People tried to text me during the show. Oh, look at this. Planned Parenthood issues guidelines on how to talk to preschoolers about transgenderism and why masturbation. Preschoolers! And that you don't think, huh? You mean to tell me you don't think Planned Parenthood's in your school? Hey, pastor, think we got an obligation to do something about that? Preschoolers? See, folks, listen. They're doing everything they can to normalize it, see? That's why you see so many of these transgender kids at such a young age, because these forces of darkness behind the scene are promoting it. Oh, your child plays with dolls? Well, maybe he's a boy. They plant that seed because they want it to appear to be normal. They're trying to normalize it as a new normal. So Planned Parenthood not only kills babies, not only encourages fornication, not only as a producer of birth control, now they're going to teach your child how to play with himself.
Coach?
Preschooler! Yes, Sarah?
Where in God's green earth are their parents?
Sin in church! Parking cars!
I need to answer that. Sarah, I need to answer that. Listen, remember, the family's destroyed. Most of the time, the man's not there. And oftentimes, most of the time in these discussions, the parent is supportive of homosexuality. Whatever you choose, I'm still going to love you. And I'll sit there and watch this. Yeah, I'm a bobblehead. There have been times when I have drawn the line. And you can only go so far with the people that will accept it. But the parents have been indoctrinated to support it.
That's you're right, brother.
You're dealing with the complete destruction of the family. Not only are you dealing with divorce, you're dealing with multiple divorces, ongoing with kids from everybody. The America of decades and generations ago, and people love the decadence. The parents love the decadence, almost to the point, depending on the family and the parent, especially if that parent is an educator, quote educator.
Oh boy,
that kid will almost be encouraged to be a homosexual.
Mm. You know why, Bobby? Because it says right here in Jeremiah 23, verse 14, that they have strengthened also the hands of the evildoers. Our churches are strengthening the hands of the homosexuals. We're strengthening their hands. You get it? You get it? You get it?
Yeah, every day on a particular road, I will pass a gay pride flag on this church.
Strengthening the hands of the evildoers. I got another one for you. Now, listen, I got 11 minutes. I'm going to try to connect a couple dots here for you, okay? Now, to cap it, Jared, go down and click on federal judge. Hey, folks, courts don't make law. Judges don't make law. Do you understand? When are we going to come to this bogus, Matt Truella's all over this bogus lie? See, everything's a lie. New Arkansas, look at this. Okay, but let me make sure that we heard that right. A federal judge is putting a ban on 4 newly passed laws. Hang on. Legally laws put in place in Arkansas, some wicked terrorist in a black robe locks them. Folks, that is not a republic. That is not a constitutional republic. That judge has no authority to do that. None. But they do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Jared, that's where that was planned. That's 23 seconds. See if we can see. Federal judge blocks new Arkansas abortion law. So when we finally get a legislature to move against abortion, the terrorists in black robes move in. Play that 23 seconds, Jared.
U.S. District Court Judge Christine, new abortion restrictions in Arkansas blocked by a federal judge. U.S. District Court Judge Christine Baker issuing an injunction against four new laws set to go into effect on Tuesday. One of the newly approved rules bans certain procedures during the second trimester. Another requires the partner of the mother to consent. Abortion advocates say those rules are just too extreme.
Okay, now, folks, listen. Here's one of the great flaws of the pro-life movement, thinking that we can legislate or restrict immorality merely through legislation. Any bill that says this, you have to notify the parents and then you can kill the baby, is not a law. There has to be a 3-day waiting period and then you can kill the baby. That ain't a law. Well, how about this one? No dismembering of babies. You can stab them. You can shoot stuff into their hearts. You can kill them with chemicals, but no more dismembering. See, this is how we've tried to fight this fight. And why have we tried to fight the fight this way? Because the courts have forced us to. The courts step in without authority. Do you guys know right now that there's sanctuary cities right now that are ignoring the law? How come the federal judges aren't still? The federal judges are siding with the cities. Can't you see what's going on? The federal, when some mayor says we're a sanctuary city and it goes to federal court, the federal judge sides with the city. But yet when the Arkansas House and Representatives and Senate pass a law saying no abortions under the age of whatever, a judge blocks it. Can't you see what's going on? Can't you see what's going on? You know what it is? Lord's waiting for the church. He ain't waiting for those judges. He's waiting for the church to stand up and say no. Okay, Jared, let's click on one more. Go back to the main menu that I sent you today, Jared, and click on courts cannot make laws. Just got about 5 minutes here. A little bit different today. I know it is. No, I know it's a little different show. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you. Did you get that, Jared? Did I send that to you, or am I lying to you again? No, I sent it to you. It just says, no. It's on its own email. It just says courts cannot make law. It's its own email. Well, I know you got it. I'm going to read it as Jared's finding it, which I know he will. I'll send it again. But like yesterday, it came in late to you, didn't it, Jared? You're up there in Maine where all those moose
are. Coach.
By what? Yeah, Larry. Yeah. Okay, Jared just sent it. Yeah, Larry.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Yes, Larry.
While we're waiting on Jared to find that, can I take about a minute and bring up a subject that parallels exactly what you're saying?
Sure. Take a minute. Go.
You're saying that the churches nowadays are using contemporary lifestyles and contemporary attitudes toward things as reasons and excuses to set aside the truth and the Word of God, and right, not even to mention the truth and the Word of God. This is nothing new. Back in Ezekiel's day, the Israelites started living their lives according to circumstances around them and according to some proverbs that were written years and years and years before. Now, don't get me wrong. Proverbs are proverbs. They were the word of God given to Solomon. Solomon wrote them down, et cetera, et cetera. However, our judicial system is patterned after the biblical pattern of justice and of law giving. And an equal or higher authority can change or do away with the law that was given earlier. Now, we see that throughout the Bible. You know, the sacrificial system of lambs was substituted by Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Right. Now, in the Old Testament, three chapters in Ezekiel, chapter 18, 19, and 20, wipe away the excuses that the people of Israel were giving for living the lives they lived. They used some of these old proverbs as excuses for doing just exactly what the church is doing today. And God, in chapters 18, 19, and 20, wipes those excuses out. In other words, he's an equal or higher authority than what caused Proverbs to be written. He spoke to Ezekiel and told Ezekiel to set them straight. Now, I just want to read two verses out of those three chapters that kind of put the whole thing into a nutshell. And that's verses 23 and 24. Now, despite the fact that earlier in the Old Testament, it says that the sins of the fathers are visited upon the, you know, for three generations, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. But listen to these two verses. Verse 23, chapter 18 of Ezekiel. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord? God, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. So no matter what some of those old proverbs say, what God revealed through Ezekiel right here, until this is changed, this applies. And that is, and it goes on in these three chapters, each person is totally responsible for their own actions and results thereof.
Amen. 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 So our government of the people, by the people, and for the people. He gave the power to us, and the only one above the people, we're the boss, the only one above us is God. The government is not above us. The government of the people, by the people, and the for the people. We are the king. The people are the king. I got to get this in before we're done here. Good point, Larry. Put that up on the screen here, Jared. Courts cannot make law, folks. Courts cannot make law. That judge is in violation. She cannot make a law. One of the greatest tricks played on the American people is the lie that courts have the power to make laws. Listen, folks, courts have the power to make laws, but not the authority. I have the power to beat my wife, but I don't have the authority to do it. I have the power to go over and break into my neighbor's house, but I don't have the authority to do it. There's a difference between power and authority. Courts cannot make law. Opinions of judges are not laws. We are beginning to see citizens all across this nation begin to fight back against tyrannical courts. The courts have the power to rule, but not the authority to rule. Below is a listing of rulings that the Supreme Court has offered that are not laws. Everson versus the Board of Education. That started the lie of the separation between the church and state in 1947. And it's not a law. Folks, that's not a law. It's an opinion. Engle versus Vitale, 1962. Remove prayer from our schools. Remove prayer. Prayer is not unconstitutional. How? On precedent. Everson said there was a separation between the church and state. Engle and Vitale said, okay, since there's a separation of the church and state, then prayer's got to come out. And then Abington versus Shemp a year later said, well, if there's a separation between the church and state, well, then the Bible's got to come out. And in 1973, Roe versus Wade said, well, if there's a separation between the church and state, then murders, who are we to say that you can't kill a baby? Legalize the murder of unborn baby. It's fiction. It's legal fiction. It's not a law. Stone versus Graham, 1980, said, well, there's a separation between the church and state. Well, we can't put Ten Commandments up on the wall. It's fake law. Lawrence versus Texas, well, if there's no morality and the separation between the church and state, people can do whatever they want to, then, hey, men can bang men. That's all right. It's okay, 2003. And then, hey, if there's a separation between the church and state and no morality, well, hey, Obergefell versus Hodges, 2015, let's do away with all marriage then. Let's do away with all marriage. See, the courts have the power, but not the authority. Your children have the power to sneak out the window at night, slide down a rope, get in your car, and go driving into town. They have the power to do that, but they do not have the authority. And we have allowed the courts to usurp the power of the people, specifically the church. That's why we're in the mess we're in. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Can't wait to dig into this a little bit.